he contemplated God's relationship to him. And I think that's a good idea for every person to sit and contemplate God's relationship to you at any time about anything. But, this text is probably one of the greatest verses. I probably used it last year, but I'm sure I didn't exhaust it by any stretch of the imagination. It's the greatest text, one of the greatest texts on the sanctity of life and God's hand our birth. And I want to read to you Psalm 139, verse 13. David said this, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I just pray that your hand be upon this preaching, the blessings be upon what's going to be said here today. You speak to each and every heart, and I ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I got to have a slight timeout. All right. So, we think about, we talk about things like abortion, people's opinions on abortion, and, if we go all the way back and we have the wrong idea about God, if we start there, if we get the wrong idea about God, we're going to start to have the wrong ideas about everything else in life. I mean, if you get off base with your thoughts about God, everything else, your decisions, your thoughts about things, is going to be skewed by, there's nothing left. If we lose God, the only thing left is man's opinions, and those are variable. People think different things about everything under the sun, right? So if your wrong idea about God, you're going to have the wrong philosophy of life. You're going to be on the wrong path in life, and then you're going to end up in the wrong destination at the end of life. And so, the word theology that we use, theology means knowledge of God. This is a critical thing, what we know about God, how we know God. There's two views, and then they can produce another view. There's two views that we can have about life and about living that shape the opinions and decisions about everything else in life. One is the worldview, just the general worldview of things, and the other one is the biblical view. Those are the two choices right there. And now there's a third view. There's a third thing that happens, and this is the danger for the church, or danger for anybody that's say in Christianity. I mean, if you're saved, you should be in church. There's this danger of, if we're not careful, that the worldview becomes intertwined with the biblical view. In other words, we start taking what we think, what we know what the Bible says, but we start blending it in with what the world is saying. And, and then who you're around, like what do your friends say? What does the television say? What does social media say? What does the general population say? I mean, and if you start listening to that, you're getting, if they're not saved, your friends or others, you get the worldview, not the biblical view. And it's like the old thing about a spiritual battle, the flesh and the spirit and the flesh, pictured as a black dog and a white dog. Whichever one of those dogs you feed the most, that's the one that's going to win. And if you feed your mind with the worldview, the flesh side of things, then your view of, the spiritual side of things is going to be skewed somewhat. And so we look at this and we look at it this way in the worldview. You have to ask yourself, well, who am I listening to? What's dictating my thought about anything? What's dictating my actions, anything, or how I view the world, or how I view what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to act, everything just about life. And so we have, you know, in the worldview, we have basically confusion because it's dictated by so many different philosophies and opinions in the world. And then if we have the big biblical view, we have God's opinion, this one opinion. We have confusion in the worldview and concision in the biblical view, or what I like to say, the word view. We got the worldview and the word view. So we think about the worldview in confusion. We see it today. We've got a confusion about genders. We've got confusion about when life begins. We got confusion about God, who God is, what God is, what he does. And I thought about this. You know, abortion's been around most of my life. Heard about it all my life. And I think back to before I was a saved man, and I thought about this. And probably some of this even after I was saved and didn't know what God said. But I didn't think, this is just plain old talking right here. I didn't think that life began at conception. I just thought that somewhere along the way, a woman is, maybe by the time you could see a woman was pregnant, maybe, I don't even know. I don't think I sat down and said, okay, when did life begin? Somewhere along the way, but I didn't think it was at conception. So my view of abortion was, well, you know, it's not a baby yet, so it's probably, you know, it's okay. Abortion would be okay. I didn't see a problem with that. I just didn't know that. I certainly didn't think that it would be okay in the last week. Like, you know, we've got in our governors, we're trying to get a bill passed. So I have an abortion in the last week. And I'm going to tell you what, when I was lost as Hogan's goat, I'd have never thought that. I mean, a baby's in there kicking and moving around, the mama can tell you and all that. I would have thought that, well, that's a life. That's a life. And to show you how confused we are in our society, we have a society that says that abortion's okay. But if you was to murder a woman that is pregnant in any stage, they'll charge you with a double murder. That doesn't even make common sense. If it's a murder, then it's a life. And if it's a life, then abortion should be murder as well, right? I mean, this is the laws that are on the books just about in every state. It's just about that way. And so we look at that, we see that, but you know, I got saved and I was, you know, God started dealing with my heart. The Holy Spirit is present. He dealt with my heart. I've looked at the Word of God, what God has to say about life, and my opinion changed. It had changed about it, and God showed me. The worldview is confused about God, who God is, what he is, if he is even. I saw where one of the members, there was a man running for Congress in Texas for one of their races, and he was talking about God. There's a clip of him talking about God. He said God is non-binary. He can be a man or he can be a woman, or she can be a woman. Man or woman, non-binary, no binary thing. This is God. This is somebody that's going to be in political office. Obviously, they're having the worldview. That's the worldview. That's a world thought. That's not a biblical thought, right? Like I said, the worldview is a mixture many times of different ideas, men's ideas, philosophies, conclusions, all coming from unregenerated, lost, cursed, and an infinite mind of fallen man. And there's all kinds of, you know, why do things change? Because men's opinions change. It's always changing. God's word is sure. But if you take the worldview, that's a constant thing. It's subjective. It just changes constantly. I can remember a time in looking back in world history or even our nation's history, even from the lost world didn't think that abortion was correct thing to do. But now that has changed. Now God's word didn't change, but this changed. And then we got the biblical view. And that comes from the omnipotent, omniscient, infinite mind of God. And when I look at David's word, it blows my mind. Get ready, Eileen. I'm going to have you here in just a second. Don't do it yet. I got a little video clip I wanted to share with you, just something, and there's a lot of them, but this was a good one. But here's David, and you got a minute or two before that. You know, here's David. He's got this, what he wrote about creation and what we read, and we look at and he had limited resources. Think about this. Now, David didn't know anything about an MRI. what do they do, ultrasound for pregnant women. He didn't know anything about ultrasound. He didn't know nothing about, man, they got video footage of an embryo from the time of conception all the way up. Now you can see all, we can see all that. He didn't have none of that. All he had was inspiration from God. And I want you to see, look what he wrote. He wrote these two things, and this is the number one point called the process. In verse 13, he says, "For thou, God, hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." That word covered is important. And then in verse 15, he said, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." There's two words, covered and curiously wrought. And so I looked it up. Now, bear in mind, he didn't have the time-lapse video or anything of an embryo or anything like that. And the only thing, as far as man can think, and you know, he's the only one, and as we apart from God, see, man thinks he's the one creating the child. But David wrote this, he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So he understood that God in the process, that God was in the process, that God was present at conception, at a birth, and he understood that. And he says, "Marvelous are thy works." That word "thou" in verse 13 is in the emphatic. That means he says, "You, God, you are the one. You are the one that has made me. For thou, you has possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." In Jeremiah 1:8, this said about Jeremiah, the prophet, he said, God said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before he was formed," he said, "I ordained thee a prophet." That's heavy. Man, listen, God said, "Before I formed you in the belly." Man and women, we think we got something to do with it. Well, God works through humans in a lot of areas, and even in childbirth. God works through a lot of areas, not just, but he does it. He does it. Not everybody that goes through the motions of wanting to have a child has a child and can have a child. Don't know why. I can't answer for God on that, why that is, but God's the one that is in charge of this. And God is present. And so since God makes us, it means that every child is of divine creation. Every child is of divine creation. Now I want to show you a little something on video. Eileen's going to show you here. I had them turn the light down. This, there it is. This is a 16-hour time lapse. You got it. You had it. You had it. Anyway, I'll show you what's going to be. It's a 16-hour time-lapse video of the spinal cord and the central nervous system being formed in the womb. This is how Satan does us. Yeah. She had it on there. It was on there ready to go. 16 hours. All right, don't mess with nothing. Just leave it right there. All right, look at this. This is 16 hours. Time lapse. This happened in 16 hours. This is the spinal cord and the central nervous system of a child. Notice all that little webbing that's growing out there. See that? You can let that sit there a minute. Now, y'all listen to me. You can watch that anytime, any day of the week. In 16 hours, that word covered in verse 39. Now, David didn't know nothing about that. "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." You know what that word covered means? You have woven me. You have knit me in my mother's womb, in the secret place. Doesn't that look like knitting? Doesn't that look like weaving? David never saw that. How did he know to say that? Inspired by God. That word, the word of God is inspired by God. God wrote that. Now listen, that's not even all of it. And then he went on to say in verse, down there a little farther, he said, My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, that's the womb, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Curiously wrought, you know what that means? Embroidered. It means I was knit. That man is knit together by the hand of God. Isn't that something? 16 hours, there's the spinal cord being formed in the womb. You know what week that is? That's around the fourth week, the third or fourth week of pregnancy. We have no right to abort a child. We have no right. That's a life. That's a life right there. I watched another video. You can give me my lights back. You can leave it up if you want or take it down if it's a distraction. But I watched another video of a heart that just got formed. And they have the photography that can see color. And there's this, it's a purple looking, and there was a brighter reddish color that would start to flicker on that length of that heart. It wasn't shaped yet all the way, it's long, and it would flicker. And all of a sudden, it got in rhythm. And that's the first heartbeat. It's coming. That's the heartbeat. Man, this is a miraculous birth. Man, nobody, a bunch of cells crawled out of a mud hole and man came out of that. No, sir. That's a creation. That's a creation by God right there. That is a design. That is an engineer. That is an architect. That is a plan. God knows exactly what he's doing. This isn't happening by happenstance. Man, listen. God's involved. God is present at the birth. God is the cause of birth. The second thing is the purpose. In verse 16, he said, since thy eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. In other words, God saw me before I was even made. And in thy book, all my members were written, that is, before I was even born, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, there was none of my, I didn't even live, I didn't exist. And you had everything fashioned, it was written down in your book before my life even came on the earth, man. And there's a reason, listen, God saw us before we were born. God knew, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, Jeremiah, I knew thee. I knew you before you were born and I ordained you to be a prophet. I had plans. I had plans for you. God plans our days. God, the length of our life, he knows. He's planned a purpose for us before our birth. We have no right. We have no right to take a life, to take a baby's life. God knows, only God knows what the purpose is. That's a profound thought. Think of this. God has a preordained purpose for every single one of us. God has a preordained purpose for every single one of us. Now you think, well, wow, I wonder if I'm fulfilling my preordained purpose. I can't answer for you. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, God's not calling everybody to be a pastor. He may be calling you to be what you are, but there's something on the spiritual side that God's calling us to be to glorify him, right? Our whole soul purpose in life is to glorify God. That's it. That's our sole purpose. And I just want you to know, are you fulfilling your purpose? Just think about it. God knows what each child will become. What that picture right there, what is that child going to become? That child could be the next great evangelist. He could be the next great preacher somewhere in the world. He could be just a world leader. He could be a president, a king of a country. He could be the greatest Christian ever was. That child right there might win more people to Christ than all of us combined. We don't know what that is. We just don't know. But God has a purpose. We don't have any right. We don't have any right to interfere with that. We just don't. We see the third thing, his preciousness, in verse 17. This is great. He said, how precious also, David said this, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I've always found that very profound. Like, I think we think a lot of times that God thinks of us collectively as humans. Well, he probably does too. He's a multitasker. I'm not. But he thinks of each individual person. He thinks of you. He has thoughts toward you. And David said, precious. That word precious there means valuable, invaluable. There's no price. That God has thoughts of you and I. He thinks of each life. Individuals. His preciousness is revealed in the fact that his thoughts are innumerable. There's no end. That God doesn't think about you today and then he's done thinking about you forever or for time. He thinks about us constantly, individually. And the precious thoughts about us are revealed in the preciousness of our life. You can't assign a value to a life. What price are you going to put on life? You can't. It's precious. That means invaluable. There's no price. When we think about that, you know, I don't know. The Word of God it just blows me away that David knew this without seeing that. And he said it, which tells me God directed his words. Now, I just want to talk to you plain about some things. You know, the worldview of life, it's different, a lot of it, than God's views. Like I say, a lot of the world may think, hey, there's life sometime, and they may be like I was, just not sure exactly when life starts. An abortion here may be, but you know, it's all different places, and it's, you know, that's just ignorance. That's ignorance. Ignorance is not a derogatory term. Sometimes we use it that way, but it's really not. Ignorance means you just don't have knowledge of something. You know, I'm ignorant about brain surgery. Duh. I'm ignorant about that. I don't know much about it. Now we can Google up everything. You can probably figure this out on Google too. If you need brain surgery, come see me after and we'll get the video out and I'll take care of it. But then there's just stupidity. That we also see stupidity. Like I talked about the double murder and then turning around and wanting to allow abortion at a full-term pregnancy. If you kill the baby 1 minute before it's born, it's murder. And if you abort it, but right at 1 minute at the same time, it's not. That's not even common sense. And it's worldview. Now here's the thing. Over 90% of scientists today, whether saved or lost, Christian view, worldview, no matter what, this is what they have defined. Life is defined roughly as when there's a separate DNA. That's deoxyribonucleic acid. That's what DNA stands for. I looked it up to see. Deoxyribonucleic acid. That's the definition of life. The DNA carries the genetic instructions for the development of functioning growth and reproduction of all known organisms. Now tell me that just happened out of a mud hole accidentally. Huh? And I'm going to tell you, there was a creator. Amen. There was a designer for this, and it's God. That's who he was. And we have this problem. So they're saying, okay, at DNA, at a separate DNA. You know when a separate DNA is formed? Instantly at conception. Instantly. When that egg is fertilized, there's another DNA. There is life. There's a separate DNA instantly. Now, I didn't know that when I had the worldview. I did not know that. That's life. That's life. There's something living here. This is movement here. This is life. 16 hours. What do you think is going to be going on in the next 16 hours? 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a heart gets a beat. It's life, right? You got a heartbeat. What do we say now? Somebody calls 911. Somebody's laying on the floor. We don't have a pulse. We got to get a heartbeat, right? Boom, boom, boom. They try to get it going. If they don't get it going, what do we got? We've got death. We've got a baby at 3 to 4 weeks with a heartbeat. That's life. That's life. Man, this is it. This is what the Bible's telling us. And now, like I said, we've got worldview and biblical view or word view, and then we got the world creep. The worldview creep we have to watch out for. And, you know, all of us here have had the worldview at some point in time in our life. If you're not saved, we had the worldview of things. What else is there? If we don't have God's word, everything else is somebody's opinion. Somebody with a finite mind's opinion. Somebody with a lost nature's opinion. you know, somebody that's a natural man, we have that opinion. And the world has arguments for abortion. We hear them. And I've thought about this. I remember thinking about this even after I was saved, and I thought about this. What about situational things? Somebody said, well, and I'll say, I'm giving you some practical things. What about rape? What about incest? Man, I don't know. Well, let me reason with you with just reason, and then we'll reflect back on what God has said. So if a man rapes a woman, he's committed a sin. She becomes pregnant. We're going to punish the baby because of that man's sin. We're going to go from one sin to the next. Or young girl commits sin, fornication, pregnant. Now let's multiply it and have another sin, murder. And even incest, terrible thing. But it's not that baby's fault.
Sure.
And who formed it in the belly?
God.
Does God know what took place?
Huh?
You don't know who that baby's going with. God's got a plan for that baby too. And I had to look at that and I had to think about myself because I really didn't have an answer for that one. That one was, but let me say this, abortion, less than 5% of abortions are done because of rape and incest. Most of the time abortion's done because people are using it for birth control. That's why it's easily done. But even still, when we look at this and we look at it from the biblical point of view, if God did it, don't mess with what God does. Huh? It's a tragedy. It's a sin, but it's not the child's fault. I don't think it gives us rule and reign to murder the child because now we know that life started at conception. Life started at conception. And God is the giver of life, right? God is the giver of life. The mantra for pro-choice is, it's my body. I can do what I want. Isn't that very self-centered? It's a selfish, lost, unregenerated view of things. It's my body. And I would agree with that, except we got a problem. There's two bodies. It's not one body. There's another body. And yeah, you can do what you want with your body, but you're responsible for that other body as well, right? And how different from what Christ himself said. You know, Christ said, it's my body too, in the Bible. In Luke 22:19, he said, this is my body which is given for you. This is my body which, the complete opposite of the selfish, it's my body and I'll do what I want. Jesus said, it's my body and I'm going to do what the Father wants. It's my body and I'm going to do what the Father wants. Jesus is life. He's the giver of life. Satan is a liar, and he's a murderer. He's a taker of life. So every life is divine from conception. Get this straight. Get it nailed down in your mind. Every life is divine from conception. God's hand is on it. Every life has a divine purpose, that God has a purpose for every life, no matter how they were conceived. And every life. And every life is precious, valuable, invaluable. There's no price tag in God's sight and in God's mind. Think about that. Man, and we need to pray for, you know, people just need to be saved. You can't have a biblical view with a lost mind. You just can't. And we can't expect the lost world to have God's viewpoint. But we need to be educated itself, and this is it. I'm hoping this helped you out. Determine when is life, when is it, how the baby's conceived, when does it start, when is there a life? Do we have a right to take that baby's life? Not anymore. We have, like Tammy pointed out during the video presentation, you know, or actually the guy on the video that started Love Life, and he said, you know, if we went and murdered all these children in a school, it would be world news, and we'd be talking about how deranged the person was that did it, and we'd want to condemn him to death and everything else. Yet millions of babies aborted every year. No outrage. No, it's just, that's not ignorance. That's just stupidity. It's just really stupidity because it doesn't make any common sense whatsoever. So I hope this helps you with your biblical view of this tragedy, and think about the awfulness that goes on every day. Here we are, you know, we're sitting around the house eating and drinking and, you know, having a good time, and this is going on over the world. We go down to the Love Life. The very first time I went, it was Pastor Joel, myself, and a few other people there, and Abby. And we prayed on the sidewalk, actually on that side of the street, because it wasn't a regular prayer meeting. It was just us, and we walked out of the Love Life office house and went down there. I don't remember if you were there or not. Maybe I don't remember. But I'm going to tell you what, it was a heavy, the weight of the Holy Spirit of God was there on that sidewalk. I could feel the presence of God, but it felt not towards me or us, but it felt like just a weight of the seriousness of what was going on right there in that building. It looks like an evil place to me. Looks evil. You could feel the opposition. You could feel Satan, the satanic power there. Man, it's a heavy thing. I encourage you to come out for our prayer walk. You're not going to get excited. You're not going to have to stand up in front of a bunch of people and do anything. You know, we're standing over on the grass across the road from in a church lot. Like, it would be like us standing out here in the grass. No signs, no protest signs or nothing. We would just all be huddled up out there by the road in little groups of four or five people. And we have some topics that we pray about. Somebody will pray. And you know, your presence there means a lot. Maybe you're not comfortable praying, but that's okay. You wouldn't have to. But, you know, show God. And we need to pray about it, though. If we're praying in private, we need to be praying about that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I hope this spoke to your heart today. William, you come up. We'll have an invitation. Go for that.
Let's all stand for our invitational hymn.